You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of November 28th, 2018, and
I'm trapped in a franchise.
I'm George Alvord.
My name is Scott Juster.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And I'm glad you mentioned being trapped in a franchise, Scott. Because not only is that the topic of conversation today, but it's also
my favorite R. Kelly song.
Man, do you remember in college when we would watch like all of Trapped in a Closet?
Oh, yeah. I mean, those are the halcyon days when Trapped in a Closet was just beginning. Now it's gone. It's jumped the shark.
That's extreme. We're way past being trapped in a closet. We're talking about a little bit about a big title that I didn't realize actually was out until today. Because I thought it was still in beta, and that game is Fallout 76, and what it means to be trapped under the weight of people's expectations, your own franchise, game engines, all that good stuff. Because if you've been paying attention to the reception to Fallout 6, it is this year's disaster, right?
I mean, maybe, but we just talked about the BlizzCon thing. Like, I feel like people are really ending the year in a dumpster fire.
You're going out strong. Well, I mean, I think I can't think of a game that was this hyped or this people were this excited for and bombed as badly as this until like Mass Effect Andromeda. Right, which we were talking before the show, was a pretty phenomenal disaster in terms of its reception. The Metacritic score right now for Fallout 76 is at a astounding 50, with a fan score of 2.4, I believe.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, so people are not enjoying this game, and there's a bunch of issues with it. One of the ones that I thought was kind of interesting that I saw coming up in several reviews, as well as a couple pieces online, was the idea that Fallout 76 is this sort of weird half-amalgam thing between trying to be what everyone expects a Fallout game to be and being something that's notably different. In this case, Fallout 76 is a multiplayer exclusive game like Destiny or something like that. You have to play it online. You have to be connected. And you go about in the world and do some PvE stuff. I haven't played it. Hey, I didn't even know it was out, so not entirely my fault. and with that, it comes a lot of things that have to change as a result of it being a multiplayer game, right? So, for example, and these are some of the complaints, the VAT system doesn't quite work. It's like instead of a sort of slow-mo time stop thing in the normal Fallout, it's like a half measure where it's really just a glorified auto-aim in a way. Yeah. In the world of Bethesda games, generally they've been very supportive of mods, but because it's a multiplayer game and they are correctly afraid that people will hack and disrupt the play experiences of others, all of this is server-side and they will not be supporting mods.
You cannot have Macho Man Randy Savage in the Wasteland.
Not yet, unless Macho Man Randy Savage is... What, is he dead? He is.
Oh, he's dead. Okay. May he rest in peace,
Macho Man. Well, if he wasn't dead, he could play Fallout 76, then he could just bump into Macho Man Randy Savage out in the wilderness.
I'm irradiated, brother. Oh yeah.
There's other issues as well that comes with some of the online infrastructure, crazy bad frame rates and things that are buggy with hit detection. There's this really interesting bug I was reading about where, so the way that the servers work or is that every time that you play, you're randomly placed in a server instead of having a sort of consistent server. Mm-hmm. And they also want to uphold the idea that has been established in several Fallout games at this point, that one of the joys of playing the game is to build your own base. You could customize it, you could deck it out, make it look really awesome. The problem, though, is because you randomly move servers, if someone else happens to have a base where your base already was, your base cannot be there, and priority goes to the person that was on that server first. So then your base is sort of hanging, and then you can drop it elsewhere, but apparently right now it's bugged to shit. Your base will lose things. It just doesn't work well. You might have to scrap it and redo your entire base. As a result, a lot of players are just going with bare-bone bases and aren't really partaking in the sort of fun that is building your own customized Fallout base. So there's all of these elements.
Well, especially if you can build it in a specific place, you know, I mean, that's half location,
exactly, man. Right? You got to find the good real estate.
Yeah.
Get sun on your vegetable garden.
It's so weird.
Yeah, and so the result is just like weird... this really weird game from the perspective of some of the people who've been playing it, where the things that made Fallout good are there, but only half so, because it's such a strong effort to try to be different, but then it's not different enough. And I don't know. I think that's kind of an interesting topic, because I think that at this day and age, there's quite a few franchises I can think of off the top of my head that sort of fit into that sort of genre or publisher or... video game IP baggage. Yeah.
It's hard to know how tied they felt to it. Like, is you know, was there a lot of pressure to do this as a Fallout game?
Yeah.
Or I mean, I'm sure there's, I mean, there's probably plenty of people over there that on paper you could see how this sounds interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it did when they announced it, right?
I feel like there were two camps. One camp was, oh, okay, this sounds interesting. The idea of banding together with more players kind of fits the theme. But then there were other people that were like, well, I basically play Fallout as a character RPG. I don't, you know. So, I mean, I think some people kind of saw the storm, but they didn't realize how bad it would be.
Well, I mean, I think that they're chasing there's probably a terminology for this, but they're like chasing a fictional unicorn. Like, I just, I don't think this game that we imagined can really exist, or I don't know, at least I haven't seen it done right, because this is the same thing that people were sort of looking for with Destiny, right?
Yeah.
People want an MMO without having it be an MMO, you know? Like, they want a micro-contained world where it's like a BioWare game, where it's fully interactive and voiced and NPCs, and you can make decisions that impact the world, but also they want to be able to play with friends and potentially a lot of friends and random strangers. Destiny tried this. It was arguably a success, arguably a failure. It sounds like Anthem is trying it next. Monster Hunter to some extent does this, right? Yeah. Like, it just, there's too much weight on the shoulders, I think, going into Fallout 76 to begin with, let alone anything that comes with the baggage of the previous franchise.
Well, yeah, and I think that's the problem. Like, it was interesting to hear you say Monster Hunter, because I was like, oh, is that even true? But like, you're right. Like, there was a weird online component to it. There was crafting. There was clans. All of that stuff. But because I didn't have any expectation of what those games even were, I just kind of took it at face value.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's that's exactly, I think, the issue, right? Is,
yeah,
I don't, well, I mean, besides the fact that Fallout 76 sounds like a buggy, terrible nightmare mess.
Well, I mean, also, I mean, no offense to Bethesda or anything, but their games are buggy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's well known. It is known that when you're going to play a Fallout game or an Elder Scrolls game, there's going to be some hilarious jank associated with it.
Well, I think to that point, why does Bethesda get a pass on that? And they've gotten a pass on this for so long, but now they're not getting one. Like, is it just that that just doesn't fly in a multiplayer environment? Like, if I can be killed by someone that I've never met before, I need to be able to rely upon the systems of the world that I'm living in, you know? If it's PvE, and as long as it's not game-breaking, whatever. Like, a weird guy will spawn in my camp, people will twitch out, whatever. Not that big of a deal. I can handle a few bugs. But, I mean, is it the online component that tarnishes it?
Or it might be the opposite. Because, like, even someone like me, who I've never played a Fallout game, I mean, in any kind of formal capacity. I mean, so, but even I know about the Brotherhood of Steel.
Yeah.
You know, there's just some cool shit in Bethesda games. You know, I know some Elder Scrolls lore, having never beaten an Elder Scrolls game ever.
Book. Yes. Yeah.
And so I think people are very tolerant of jankiness when there's so much depth and texture in the world. And then when you strip that away, it's like, well, what do we have left? We have all of the jankiness, but none of the cool lore that we're here for. What are we even doing?
Yeah, it's some Wizard of Oz shit, where you look behind the curtain and go like, oh, man, there's nothing. Yeah, there's nothing it's built on top of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a big problem, right? Is the game does not really feature the well-written story or NPC choice-based stuff that we normally associate with a Fallout game. Yeah. And without it, it doesn't have strong foundations to stand on as a shooter. You've never played much Fallout. I've never enjoyed Fallout, to be perfectly honest. So I'm not someone... Because I think for me, it's always... I've never been able to look past that. Like, the story's fine. There's some really cool moments. There's some really, like, iconic, like, narrative twists in those games where you're making decisions about whether people live or die. But to me, the systems have never been tight enough to be something that's enjoyable. So Fallout 76 was never interesting to me because it got rid of the one thing that was even a little bit interesting in the Fallout franchise to begin with.
Yeah. I mean, that raises the question, though, is would people be more forgiving if this was just its own series, its own franchise? Take the logo off of it. Are people more tolerant, or does it just die a quieter, more boring death?
I was actually thinking about this in relation to Red Dead, because today, by the time you're listening to this, Red Dead Redemption 2 Online will be playable for, I believe, everybody at this point. And I thought it was really interesting that the game came out, was single player, right, for a good solid month. The game was reviewed. People paid full $60 without any insight as to what online would be at all.
Yeah.
And so when it comes out, I think people are going to see online as a sort of addendum, like just additional content. That's really not the way most games, at least historically, have come out. You know, single player and multiplayer are on the disc at the same time. And when you're measuring the value of a game, at least from a, you know, reviewer, consumer-sided perspective, you're reviewing both the single player and the online experience, you know?
Yeah.
But there's...
Well, most games don't have 8,000 hours of crafting and hunting.
That's very true. That's very true. But the point being is, right, like, I think if let's say, for example, Fallout 76 was instead called Fallout 4 Online or Fallout 4 : New Hampshire or whatever. Where the fuck are they? Where are they? DC? Virginia. West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Yeah. So if it was like Fallout 4 West Virginia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they charged $40 for it instead of 60. Let's put that little addendum on there.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think there would be fewer expectations. This would be seen as a test, as an experiment. But calling it Fallout 76 implies that it's a standalone, fully realized experience within that universe.
The next chapter in the Fallout universe.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And they have veered too far from what I think fans really want out of an entry, right? Like, it's hard, I think, to say something is a full, finished $60 project and then at the same time say, actually, it's an experiment. I think Bethesda's just trying to have their cake and eat it too with that. And a lot of people, I think, are when they say, oh, early access, this is a game that we're working on. We'll continue to develop. We're listening to you, fans. Like, that is the go-to. And I think for a lot of publishers, it works because they really do invest a lot of time and games really do get better. But I think more and more players of games, I think, or at least people that are familiar with the games industry, are just a little bit more suspect about that concept that, like, man, why'd I want to pay $60 full price for a fucking game when I could wait a year, get it for $20, and it's going to be actually finished?
Yeah, that's been an interesting dynamic. One, because it can come from different places where if you're an independent game developer with limited resources and limited people, it's early access is actually truly early access where it's not really finished and you can make big changes. And then on the totally other side of the equation, there are games like Rainbow Six that came out. It was fine, but has only gotten more and more popular as it's been supported by a major publisher. And so, like, you can do it. Like, you can do it the right way, but then you have all these games that are kind of in the middle where it's like, I'm pretty sure you guys had the time and money to finish this game. And I don't know why you put it out in this state. I mean, no one could really, maybe there's a financial reason you put it out in this state, whatever. The end of the quarter makes people do weird things. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that from Bethesda's perspective, one, I mean, again, this is pure Mr. Businessman hat
Mr. Businessman in the Wasteland. I'm now Emperor Businessman of Business World.
Emperor Businessman. Does Emperor Businessman think that Bethesda sees this as a genuine test? Like, are they genuinely experimenting with this game?
Yeah.
And if so, do you think that this is what they wanted? You know, like, do you think that they'll leave this and go, multiplayer is conceptually works, but we need to do it right next time? Or do you think they'll go, you know what, nobody wants multiplayer. We need to go back to our roots, single player, RPG, let's go.
Could this be their GTA 5 moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the question, right? And I think that's, to me, it does feel like it's a sort of experiment. It's just a shame that they're also bogged down by having, by needing it to be a Fallout game. Like, by having to have these things like VATS and have all these expectations, even the post-apocalyptic world to some extent. Like, man, what if they just, let's call it fucking Rage 10 Wasteland. I don't know. Like, I think there's a lot of different ways to imagine how they could have really emphasized that it was an experiment and leaned into it and been even more daring instead of having to tie it to the Fallout universe and all the baggage and expectations that fans would bring to it as a result.
I think I see what you're saying, because somewhere in the bowels of Bethesda, there is an Elder Scrolls game being made.
Yes.
And they did some interesting base building stuff in Fallout 4, and now they're doing this multiplayer stuff in Fallout 76. And I could completely see the next Elder Scrolls game just having that stuff as a core component as part of the base release.
Right.
If this goes well, and if they've proven that they can do it right, and that it's worth doing and all that stuff, like, the kind of reading between the lines, like, to me, that makes sense. It's like, okay, let's test the waters before we devote any more time, or we devote a whole extra 2 years or whatever to the next Elder Scrolls.
Man, that basement right now, just yellow alert.
Yeah.
It's great. It's like a Fallout vault. They're closing the door right now. There's people just desperately trying to escape.
That's vault one. This is the beginning of how it starts, actually.
So we intended to actually discuss a bunch of other games and franchises that we've awaited now. So we should probably transition to that real quick.
Let's see which of these franchises may be buckling under their own weight.
I'll go ahead and start, because I've got one that I think is stuck under its own weight. And this goes back to a podcast we did about edginess and that phase in games. And that game is Gears of War.
Oh, that's a good call.
Because Gears of War wasn't out, Gears of War 5? What gears are we on now?
At least 5, right?
It was announced, or maybe it was re-announced at last E3 after I think a previous announcement in 2017.
Yeah.
And this is a game where, like, you know, Marcus Fenix as a main character, his children, the characters themselves, come from this era of just being this sort of outlandish, over-the-top, heavy metal, Cliffy B masculinity. And I just feel like games have left that archetype behind in a lot of ways, at least the games that we praise from a critical perspective, right? Like, look at Arthur Morgan in Red Dead. Like, he's a very complex hero in a way that Marcus Fenix and that crew can never really be. I mean, maybe if you're really into the lore, you've read the books or something, you know, don't at me. I'm sure he's a totally interesting character, but I just feel like there's so much preconceived notions about what that franchise is, and I just cannot see it escaping that gravity.
I wonder if the mechanical side feels the same way. Like, I haven't played a Gears game for, I don't know, I've probably missed at least 2 Gears games. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what that, does that system age?
Does the chainsaw, you know, still work? Is it rusty?
Have you oiled it?
Yeah.
Because that's another thing around the Fallout stuff, you know, that it's not only the kind of aesthetic and what it means to the story. It's like, okay, what does this actually mean to be playing the game? Like, what is VATS like? Are there decision trees? All that stuff.
Well, I mean, even the heaviness of Gears, right? Like, that is something that mechanically it's known for. You move at a very slow, plodding place. Like, you move with a lot of weight. And we're also, you know, we also have games on the docket that are, you know, you push up and you just climb shit, you know. The people our action heroes are more mobile than ever, so I mean, I think it would feel a little dated to be playing that again. It might be dated to so dated as to be refreshing, though. You know, mm-hmm. like, oh, this feels impactful again in a way that I think some action shooters don't feel. Like, I don't think Red Dead Redemption, those characters move in the way that humans move. Like, they move like horses, you know? Like, they come to a rambling stop when you're moving. It's not precise in how you move that character around.
It's like they're all drunk all the time. It's actually a very good alcoholism simulator.
I mean, basically. Alcoholism is a major threat in that game, so...
That's true. Let me talk to you about a franchise that I think was suffering under its own weight and pulled it off. Okay. It broke free of the shackles. Have you heard of this little franchise called The Legend of Zelda?
Oh, yeah. See, I was thinking actually about Nintendo games too, and they just don't suffer from this.
Yeah. Well, I would argue that prior to Breath of the Wild, we had Skyward Sword, which was, I would argue, is the worst Zelda game ever made. Mm-hmm. And it was just a bad video game in general, and it was just suffocating under the cruft of decades of just how Zelda works. Yeah. Gotta get the boomerang, here's a crack in the wall, do a thing, let me walk you through the same menu that you've seen for the past five games. Like, it was very clear that something needed to happen. And they did it, you know, like they pulled away from it in a spectacular fashion. But up until that point, each Zelda game had been more and more burdened by the prior one.
Yeah. I mean, man, Breath of the Wild has got to be one of the most fascinating releases in the past decade.
Easily.
You know, like the idea of going, I mean, and that's what I'm talking about, right? When we're imagining what a Fallout online multiplayer thing could have been. What if they just fucking went ham? They're like, you know what? No more VATs. New engine. You know, like, we're gonna model this off of Doom instead. This is gonna be a fast-paced running through the wasteland, like shooting people. We're gonna put an NP. Like, we're gonna go all out. Fallout. Mm. Eh? We're putting the all out in Fallout. Yeah, I mean, they could have done that. I think it would have been risky and expensive.
Oh my god, I'm just visualizing the logo of Fall Out. Like, you know, the F is like red and the all out is black. Like, oh my god.
Like a nuclear cloud, but it's just over the all out. Yeah. And F is
You've just made a great game with a single logo.
All out. Yeah, I mean, I think all out could have been. I mean, if they, and again, not everyone can pull this off. I fully understand that Nintendo is this special magical pony that exists in the world for some reason and continues to marvel and delight almost without explanation, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly. It defies all logic.
Yeah, like, I understand that. I mean, how is Mario Party good again? Like, I don't understand. Like, there's legitimately a fairy that they have trapped inside of a dungeon and they're just like plucking its wings off one by one and using it to flavor their video games. I don't know.
And his name is Sakurai.
His name is Sakurai. Not everyone can do that, but I think pushing oneself that far is kind of necessary to get out from under the weight of that franchise, you know, of that IP or the expectations at least that fans have. Because, I mean, if you go really all out, I mean, and to be fair, to Bethesda's credit, to some extent, maybe Elder Scrolls Online has become this. You know, my understanding is that people who play that and love it have found something that is notably different from the Elder Scrolls universe and exists on its own and is somewhat good as an MMO experience, you know, and to their credit, they did push that, so.
Yeah, which makes the weird missteps of just... It makes the basic missteps that you hear about Fallout 76 even more baffling in that they are running one of the few major successful MMOs left in the world.
Yeah.
And yet they don't knowledge share about best practices.
Got to keep that secret, Scott.
It's weird. What else? What others are creaking under the weight of history?
So the other one I want to talk about, and we talked a little bit about it beforehand, and it's not really a game, because I was going to say Mass Effect, but I actually think BioWare generally is stuck under the weight of BioWare, which is to say, I think one of the reasons, you know, besides a lot of the technical problems, the narrative problems with Mass Effect Andromeda, there are games from BioWare that not only defined the genre of like interactive large-scale RPGs, but have fans that have gotten shit tattooed on their bodies. Like, people love that franchise. And as a result, in order to one-up it, to be better, to keep staying on top, they have to spend an obscene amount of money. Like, they have to do what Rockstar does, right? Where they have thousands and thousands of lines of dialogue. It's a massive game, more open than ever, bigger decisions than ever. And it feels like a sort of unfair weight on Mass Effect. And we talked about this, I think, well before Andromeda ever came out, where, oh man, maybe they could tell smaller one-off stories in the Mass Effect universe, you know, spin-off. I think genuinely, to really bring that franchise back, and I don't expect it to come back for another 5 years at least because of the Andromeda debacle. I think to really bring it back, they're going to have to do what, to some extent, the Star Wars films did, you know, and do a do basically like a soft reboot and say, hey, you know what? We're different. We're set in a different, it's a different scale. It's a different feel. It's a different tone. It's a different way of storytelling, different way of playing the game, all that stuff. Like, they really, I think, are going to have to set themselves apart.
I mean, J.J. Abrams already has the two big other big space operas in the world. Yeah, so he just needs to complete the hat trick. So he'll have Star Trek, Star Wars, and Mass Effect.
Make it a Cloverfield game, you know? Done.
Let me ask you, I'm on the fence about this one. I can't decide whether it's burdened by its history or whether it has actually been remarkably successful in not getting bogged down. The Final Fantasy series.
Okay. I mean, I would, yeah.
What do you think? I mean, I can not go either way.
I'm gonna say not bogged down, dude. This
not bogged down.
I mean, Final Fantasy is, God, man, video games are fun. Final Fantasy is so we have Final Fantasy VII, right? Like, the everyone's go to Final Fantasy VIII, my personal favorite emo kid story.
Yeah,
we have Final Fantasy X2, which is like a K-pop game.
Yes,
we have like the latest Final Fantasy that is a road simulator. Romance road trip simulator. Like, we have a speaking of other successful MMOs, the Final Fantasy MMO is still going strong. Besides the fact that they're bogged down by having to still use terms like, you know, Ultima and Materia, and, you know, like stuff like that, like some of the just the trappings of Final Fantasy, I think they've done a remarkable job of not being constrained. I mean, even look at, which one was it? Final Fantasy, the one with lightning. Is that 13? 14?
I think it was 13. Yeah.
I remember there was a big conversation, and this turned out to be true, but you had to play the game for 20 hours through like a very on-rails experience, and then it really opens up and becomes something different and surprising and interesting.
Yeah.
People hated that because you had to get through 20 hours of that game. But hey, you know, they weren't constrained by the lessons of the past. You know, they were able to have something that was a little bit more daring like that.
That's why I was going back and forth, where like it seems like there are some big differences from game to game. At the same time, every single game has to have weird chocobos. Every single game has to have something to do with like crystals and, you know, some very anime-esque shit going on. And
ancient kingdoms nestled in the woods.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was just a very interesting franchise to think about, like whether, because really the stuff that ties it together is the incidental stuff and the name. And then I thought about, okay, well, is it expanding? Is Final Fantasy gaining an audience, or is it just the set of people that like Final Fantasy are the same set of people that continue to move through during time, and it's just kind of like a flat population?
Yeah, that's a very good question, actually. Yeah. Like, our kids...
I can't imagine coming to Final Fantasy... I can't imagine being... Your first Final Fantasy being road trip bro Final Fantasy.
Well, it doesn't have to be. It'll be Final Fantasy VII for the 100th time.
I guess.
I mean, maybe there's your proof, right? It's like, hey, they know what game really got people hooked on the Final Fantasy series, so let's just keep releasing that thing.
I mean, maybe that's a good point, because aren't they even, they're still, from a company perspective, maybe they feel trapped by it, because aren't they still trying to reboot, or sorry, remake it.
Yeah. Allegedly.
So, yeah, I mean, it's weird. Like, at a certain point, it's like every Final Fantasy is so different. They're willing to go from like a turn-based thing to a more MMO style to a more like active combat style. But then they also put out Final Fantasy VII every single year.
That's definitely true. Yeah. I mean,
it's very strange.
Again, to their credit, though, the fact that they shift up the tone and the style enough is interesting to me, because I mean, there's so many like long lasting franchises that just stick it, you know, stick to one thing, one tone and style, you know.
You hear that, Crash Bandicoot?
I mean, even The Last of Us, or I don't know, Uncharted or something. I mean, they're always, they kind of have to, because that's the world that they've set up, right?
But, yeah, yeah.
I mean, for a reoccurring franchise that does yearly, not maybe not yearly, but, you know, every couple years do a soft reboot of their world, I think Final Fantasy does a slightly better job than some others could do in terms of the way that they're updating their style, you know?
Yeah. That's a good point.
There you go.
That is the weight of the franchise. It's interesting to, especially now that we are starting to get the first rumblings of the next console cycle,
PlayStation 5.
Yeah, no. I mean, what that will look like, and what Microsoft is trying to do, and Microsoft buying more studios, like figuring out how to do new things or capitalize on the franchises that those things have. It's you start to get studios that have now been around for multiple decades, and this becomes a problem. Well, you know, this is a relatively new problem, you know?
100% agree. And franchises, right? Like, we've talked about it for over the past decade of like, oh God, sequels, but like more and more, the ones that we expect to perform might not, you know, that's a serious risk. And the things that we never expect to come out of nowhere, like Fortnite, blow up and are defining of like a year, you know? So...
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting that you
How long just sit on do you it. Think before we get a Battle Royale in Fallout 76?
I mean, I bet you it'll happen within a year. Easy.
Except this time, they're all falling upwards from a vault.
Yes, fall...
Fall up
76.
Oh my God, 76 players, done.
Yeah. Oh, dude, yeah, perfect. Well, what you'll have is every vault will open up at the exact same time. And then there's a nuke. There's a nuke in the center of the map. I mean, you gotta find, I mean, to be honest, I think battle royales are already bogged down by
by convention.
By conventional battle royales. Like, why, you know, we talked about like 99 versus the Yeti and like weird shit like that. You know what I mean? Twisted Metal battle royales. Like, come on, guys. Think outside the box.
Think outside the vault.
Think outside the vault.
All right, we will leave it right there. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our bug.powersuit that you just can't get out of.
Help!
Come on down. While you're sitting there in T-form, listen to some past episodes.
Yeah, now you know how Master Chief feels.
Yeah, if you want to know why we're bogged down, you can go listen to some old episodes.
All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week. Ciao. I took more